Hello and welcome once again. This is Mike Moody with our Bible study for today. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. It's good to be with you once again. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Father, again, we do count it a great joy and a privilege to be in Thy Word today. We thank You, Father, that You have told Your children that You will never leave us nor forsake us. We do ask also for a special guidance, Father, in the opening and teaching of Your Word. Pray for liberty from on high. Father, we pray for any listening that may not be saved and know the Lord Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. We pray that You would work in their hearts and bring them unto Thyself. We thank You again for this time. In Christ's name, amen. As we continue on in our study, we look at chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians. And by way of brief review, chapter 1 deals with the testimony of the believers there at Thessalonica. And in chapter 2, we looked at the background of how this assembly had begun, connected with Acts chapter 17. And as we move into chapter 3, we now would like to consider the development of this assembly, how it was further developed or built up in the faith. We considered already that Paul had difficulty, as we looked at Acts 17. He and Silvanus and Timothy, not unlike other places, found opposition from the enemy, that is, from Satan himself. But in particular, we see that the unbelieving Jews of that area would even follow Paul down to Berea, attempting to shut their mouths as they presented the gospel. And so as we pick up in chapter 3, Paul has departed from Thessalonica, and yet he's concerned, and he sends Timothy to do as so often we see ones like Timothy and Titus and other men in the New Testament being troubleshooters, as it were, for this one Paul who was the last of the appointed apostles. He would send these fellow laborers, as he called them, fellow workers in the Lord, and they would help further establish the Christians in these various areas as they would go on through their missionary journeys and go back and see how these Christians were doing that had come to know the Lord in these new local churches. And so, let's read a little bit, chapter 3, verse 1. We see here the first 5 verses Timothy has sent. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent it to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. And so it's very obvious here, as we see the need for Timothy to be sent, Paul's concern was that Satan would be hindering the work. You know, we consider at the end of chapter 2, there in verse 18, that Paul was desirous to come see them again. As he would say in this epistle at different times, face to face, he would desire to see them. But there, he said that Satan had hindered him. And again, here in our text today, in chapter 3, verse 5, he mentions the tempter. He was concerned that they would have tempted them and that their labor would be in vain. You know, we considered this also, that in chapter 2 and verse 1, that he spoke of their opportunity that they had, that it became evident that it was not in vain when they came in and saw this assembly begin, that the gospel went forth and people had received the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now he's saying, I'm concerned that Satan would not have caused our labor to be in vain. So with these things, notice in verse 1, he said that he could no longer forbear. Oh, there was this desire, this burden to to follow up on the work there with the Thessalonians. If we go back to our text of Acts 17, you know, at the beginning of the chapter, we considered the beginning of this work and how once had heard the gospel. But as we pick up a little bit further in the chapter, after Paul had moved down to Berea for a time, we notice in verse 14, Acts 17:14, "And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto him, unto Silas and Timotheus, for to come to him," that is Paul, "with all speed, they departed." And so Paul, yes, he was determined to know how they were doing there. You know, we have the privilege of traveling quite a bit by the grace of God to different assemblies of the Lord's people, to different local churches. And as we get to know them and we come back and visit them, you know, we have a desire. We pray for them. We may not always see them face to face. They may be many miles or cities away or even states away. And yet we have a burden for them. And it's always good to see them or to hear from them, to know their state in the Lord, that they're growing and being sustained. We have confidence in the Lord. Yet the Lord tells us to pray one for another, to bear one another's burdens. And there's the need to grow in the Lord. And so we can, in some small way, have a glimpse of Paul's desire to see these friends of his in the Lord move forward. And so when he could no longer forbear, he sent his brother, Timothy. And so in verse 2, back in our text of 1 Thessalonians 3, we see some of these fellow laborers here. In particular, Timothy is mentioned. He's called a brother, a minister of God, a fellow laborer in the gospel. But notice in verse 2 the purpose of why he was sent. It was to establish them and to comfort them concerning their faith. You know, we need that, don't we? We need to be established in the faith. We need to be comforted in the faith. You might remember in chapter 2 when the illustration of a relationship like in a family, he mentioned in verse 7 about as a nurse cherishes her children, you think of a mother, the affectionate desire Paul had for those saints. But also there in 2 in verse 11, as a father, he says, "If you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." So there we see that exhorting and comforting and charging. Oh, we need that from the Word of God. We need that from the fellow saints to, you know, we're accountable to the Lord, aren't we? But there's also a sense to where we're accountable to the fellow saints. And so there's that hedge of protection for the believer in the Lord's assembly. You know, dear friend, perhaps you're listening today and you're not in fellowship, not in practical fellowship with the local assembly. You're not consistently meeting with the saints. The scripture tells us in Hebrews not to forsake the assembling together of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but we're instead to be provoking one another to love and to good works. You see, when we forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as we do not meet together with the Christians on a regular basis, then one, of course, that the Lord's name is not brought to honor as it should, but as well on your personal level, you're not within that realm of safety. If you're a child of God, yes, you can read your Bible at home. Yes, you can pray anytime because the Spirit of God lives in you. But dear Christian, the Lord has established where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. He has established that is his place. Not the building, but the gathering of his people together on a consistent basis. That is his place. He's established leadership to care for the flock, the elders of the local assembly, bishops, pastors, elders, as you may use those terms. But, and he has caused the use of the Word of God to go forth on a regular basis to nurture us and to exhort us and to charge us. You see, if you're outside of the fellowship of the saints, also the accountability level, it's easy to say, well, I watch TV or listen to radio and that's all I need for my teaching. Dear friends, there's the accountability, one with another. As when you're in need and you know they will be praying for you, the other Christians, and you likewise will pray for them. Oh, to separate yourselves is to break fellowship. You might not mean harm by it, but if you're not gathering with the Lord's people, then, again, the bottom line is the assembly is the Lord's, and we're to be there for Him. But yet, we lose out on the care and the safety that we receive when we're absent from the assembly. You know, there are those places, different various types of discipline in the New Testament about ones that has to be put out of the meeting because of moral sin or doctrinal sin that would not be repented of until repentance is brought. And when you see that, for example, there were ones that were speaking, Paul told Timothy, they were speaking in a doctrinal error. And he said he had to turn them over to Satan, that they'd learn not to blaspheme. And so that meant they were put out of the meeting. They were put out of the care of the assembly. You know, when you're outside of the assembly, whether it's by discipline because of sin or whether it's because you voluntarily just leave the meeting, you know, you're putting yourself outside of the care of the Lord's place. And you're putting yourself out into the world in one sense. You may not be living in sin per se, but you're outside of the care of the Lord's appointed place. Oh, dear Christian, are you in fellowship with the Lord's people? You know, to be in the Lord's will, you need to be in fellowship with the Lord's people. Because when you look from the book of Acts all the way to the end of the New Testament, it's constantly letters written to local assemblies and to Christians in fellowship in the local church. You know, it's just the constant pattern. And so, really, we're not consistent with the Lord's people, or that is, the Lord's Word, if we're not in fellowship with His people. Oh, this is something on my heart today. May you consider this if you're perhaps straying and trying to be, as people say, a lone ranger. The Lord doesn't intend for us to be by ourselves in the things of the Lord. With this encouragement, Father, we just bow before you, thanking you for your assembly and for, most of all, your Son who loved us and gave himself for us, who is also the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you in his name. Amen. Thank you for being with us. If you have any questions or concerns, please call us at 824-5525. Or write us at P.O. Box 1259, Ramseur, North Carolina, zip code 27316. Our requests for tapes are free. Join us next time at 1 o'clock with the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.